If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Fish on a Heater. DeFi? Oh yeah, she's not here this week. So this is PvP Corner, the PvP podcast that is this week without a co-host. We brought up the idea a couple of weeks ago that DeFi would not be here this week. And I forget whether she mentioned it or whether just the idea occurred to me, how I'd talked about how Kyle has had to do episodes on his own before, and I thought he has done a very good job, and I was interested in the idea of running one of these episodes on my own. So that is what I am attempting this week. I'm not sure how well I'll do at it, because I feel like I am just talking to myself alone in my room like a madman, and it takes me a long time for words to reach from my brain to my mouth. So there might be a lot of pauses that I might have to cut out, a lot of umming, a lot of thinking. Usually, here's a little peek behind the curtain. When I, like, if you've ever seen some of my pre-recorded content breaking down metas and stuff, like we've got our shorts and reels now that appear on Instagram, shorts on YouTube, TikTok videos, like I try and do all those in one long take, but I always stuff something up. Like I will forget the word I'm trying to use. I'll get tongue tied. So it can often take me like 19, 20 takes to get one of those videos out. And so help me if it's one of those 6 minute breakdowns, my word, trying to not make a mistake for 6 minutes, that is an effort for me. So I've done something very scary by just hitting the record button. I've written out all my show notes and I've just hit record and we are going to see what happens. This is already take number two, by the way. So let's get into the meat and potatoes of it. So we have just come out of the Spring Cup, and you might remember if you listened to last week's episode that I was not feeling particularly good that day, because I had just lost so many points in such a short amount of time. I just could not seem to be able to buy a win in Spring Cup, and it was really annoying because I had previously been going so well. Like as I mentioned, I was like 30 points away from a spot on the leaderboard, which is something I have been chasing for a few seasons now. And like at the beginning of Spring Cup, I was getting a lot of wins, and then just it suddenly stopped. And it frustrated me because I had no idea what I could do to change that, to improve. I consider myself to be at a skill level that if I'm losing a lot, I tend to put it down towards a team composition issue rather than maybe a way I'm misplaying it. But that's the weird thing about, you know, a skill such as PvP, is that like you don't really know what you don't know. So like maybe I was making mistakes with the teams that I was playing, but I wouldn't exactly know what those mistakes are, unless I'm getting like feedback from other people in real time, which is why we kind of set up the coaching feature in the Pallet Town Discord server, where you can kind of like jump in a voice chat, share your screen and get people to kind of give you that real time feedback. So eventually I found a team that was starting to work for me, because every team in Spring Cup was like an ABB style team. So like a Pokemon of one type in the front and then two Pokemon in the back that cover that first Pokemon's weaknesses. There is another style of team composition called ABA, which, you know, more experienced battlers would have heard of, which is the Pokemon at the front and at the back share the same role or typing. And then there's a Pokemon in the middle that covers both of those Pokemon's weaknesses. Now, that is a style that is very dangerous to run, because if you run into a Pokemon in the lead that hard counters that lead, then you're in trouble because you can't really swap it out. Because say if you swap to your... So I was running this ABA team of Tentacruel, Ferrothorn, and Dewgong, right? Now, just to illustrate what I'm talking about, if with a team like that, you run into a Lantern lead, you can't really swap into your Ferrothorn because they're just going to swap straight out and they'll probably have a grass counter in the back, like a Marowak, like a Tropius, something like that, or like a Dewgong. Although Ferrothorn does beat Dewgong, but you know the example still stands. And I can't swap into my Dewgong because the Lantern will beat the Dewgong anyway, and I'm still losing that battle, that matchup. So it can be risky in that regard, but ABA style teams are actually pretty good against ABB style teams. And so with that team composition, Tentacruel, Ferrothorn, and Dewgong, I did start to climb back and gain back some of those points that I was losing. So I think there was one day I did particularly well, gained back 100 points, which is, I'm constantly on my soapbox about how a person's ELO at any one point in time is not a particularly strong indicator of where their skill is. The fact that you can lose 100 points in a day and then gain 100 points in a day, I think is more evidence of that. Like it's someone looking at my ELO on Tuesday would have a very different idea of how, like, assuming they didn't know who I was, they would have a very different idea of how good I am on Tuesday than Wednesday based on those results, right? And how accurate are either of them? I don't know. So, yeah, that team did do well for the last couple of days of Spring Cup. Then Open Great League came back along with the other two Open Leagues. I have been playing in the Great League, of course, running a similar team to what I was running the first time it was around this season in Shadow for Alligator Lead, Shadow Dragonair this time instead of Guzzlord, which is what I was using before, and then Vigoroth. Vigoroth is, I've said it before, it's one of the best Pokemon in Great League, particularly at the moment. The problem is Annihilate. Annihilate is very prevalent. It's very popular. A lot of teams are using it. And if you get it caught in against your Vigoroth, it is literally one of the hardest counters in all of Pokemon Go. Like, the counters from Vigoroth are being double resisted, Body Slam is double resisted, Rock Slide is single resisted, and then in return the counters from Annihilate are doing super effective damage. It can just straight up farm the Vigoroth all the way down. And I'm gonna talk about this a little bit later. I think I've got this coming up later. No, I'll talk about it now. Annihilate is absolutely disgusting with energy. Like, if you give it an energy lead, it's ranked number one with a score of 100 out of 100 as a charger on PB Poke, which is, you know, a Pokemon that does well with an energy lead. I did look it up before. Against the core meta of the Open Great League, Annihilate has a win rate running Night Slash and Shadow Ball. It's got a win rate of 21, 18, and one draw, which is, you know, it's a pass mark, it's above average. You give it one counter of energy, it suddenly gets six more wins and six less losses. So it goes from 21-18-1 to 27-12-1. You give it five counters, which is enough to get it to one Night Slash, and that's not, you know, unreasonable. We don't normally talk about Pokemon with that much of an energy lead, but it's a Pokemon that you can bring in to farm down another Pokemon and quite realistically get five counters of energy. So With 5 counters, that win rate goes to 31-9. And with 8 counters, which is enough for a shadow ball, it goes to 33-7. So that's why you see Annihilate gaining so much popularity in like play Pokemon tournaments, because like if you can get it to a position where it is able to farm something down, like you soft lose a particular matchup and then bring in Annihilate to finish it off, come out with that energy, it can do such big damage. The only losses that it does get with 8 counters of energy, they are Mantine, Gligar, Cresselia, Mandibuzz, and Sableye. So if you're planning to, you know, participate in a Play Pokemon tournament coming up, or if you want to construct a team that specifically is able to handle Annihilate, then those 5 Pokemon are fairly necessary, 3 of them being Flyers, one of them being a straight Psychic type, and one being a Ghost Dark type with the Shadow Claw fast move, which is really good for being able to farm down and Annihilate. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. The Shadow Gator, Shadow Dragonair, and Vigoroth team is getting me slowly back up to where I was before. I still haven't quite reached what my peak was. I think I'm at 23-19 or something like that. I fell back so far, and I've got so much ground to make up if I want to catch up to the rest of the people that I compare myself to, which I know comparing yourself is not a good habit, but but I'm doing it anyway. I do prefer Guzzlord just because it's more fun to play over Dragonair, but like Dragonair just has some much more important wins. Like it beats Bastiodon in the one shields, which Guzzlord can't do. Like it has a bit more play against something like a Carbink. Like it's Shadow Dragonair is safer than Guzzlord in general. Anyway, looking ahead, upcoming, we have from the 29th of March to the 5th of April, we have Great League continuing and Ultra League Premier, which DeFi is real excited about. We've got the top 10 for that meta, which is Poliwrath, Shadow and Regular, and that is XL, Shadow and Regular Feraligatr, XL Mandibuzz, XL Pidgeot, and that's Shadow and Regular, which we will talk about soon. Shadow coming into the game. Skarmory XL, Annihilate, Goodra, Shadow Empoleon, and Dragalge XL, and Tentacruel XL. So we were talking about this being like Feraligatr's playground. Looks like Poliwrath just edges it out in terms of how good it is against the meta. Pokemon that's a little further down that I'm kind of liking is Jellicent. Now, Jellicent is obviously going to be such a hard counter for Poliwrath, which means, you know, that alone will probably give it a lot of play. It has a fairly even matchup against Feraligatr. Feraligatr is obviously doing the super effective damage with Shadow Claws. Its Hydro Cannons are resisted, and Jellicent, being a very bulky Pokemon, can take a lot of punishment. The Feraligatr can be running Crunch that can make that very difficult for Jellicent, but PvPoke does recommend Ice Beam. There are a few dragons running around, so it's kind of if you're using Feraligatr, it's kind of a decision that you have to make. But yeah, that's probably my pick. Also a really good counter for Tentacruel, which I've seen a few of around, just a lot of poison damage. It's good against Annihilate. I think it can tank a Shadow Ball just fine, and then those counters are double resisted. So yeah, hopefully you go well in your Ultra League Premier battles. During that time, or starting during that week, we've got the EUIC event, which is starting 3rd of April going along to the 7th, where you get 10 sets a day to celebrate the European International Championships that are happening that weekend. The 5th to the 12th of April, we are getting Ultra League, Open Ultra League, and Jungle Cup. And we do have a top 10 for that, which is Shadow and Regular Steelix, which it's suggesting Psychic Fangs and Crunch for that one. Shadow and Regular Skarmory, Clodsire, Vigoroth down at number 4, which we weren't quite expecting. Shadow and regular Abomasnow, Mandibuzz, Shadow Quagsire, Unovan Stunfisk, Guzzlord, and Mantine. So that is our GBL section for the next few weeks. Now, we have some in-game events to talk about. Currently, I think happening while this podcast comes out, we've got Tapu Lele in raids, and we said we'd kind of keep an eye on the Tapus as they come out with that new move, Nature's Madness, to see how it affects them. Unfortunately, it does not seem to have made much of a difference to Tapu Lele. It is currently running that move of Nature's Madness as one of its charge moves. It's ranked number 139 in Master League and number 564 in Ultra League. Now, in Great League, there are probably sometimes Pokemon down at number 139 that can still be plenty viable. In Master League, that is not the case. 139 in Master League is probably like an equivalent of 564 in Ultra League. So, I wish I had better news for you there. But Tapu Lele is not going to change the game very much. Moving on, though, we've got the World of Wonders Taken Over event, which is a Rocket event. We usually get one of these per season. And Giovanni will be sporting a shiny new Shadow Groudon. Well, I hope it's shiny for you. A shiny new Shadow Groudon. So Shadow Groudon does do a little better than regular Groudon in some metrics. So like, I think from looking it up before, it was like better as a closer. Like when shields are down on both sides, that Precipice Blade is doing that extra 20% damage can make the difference there. Or as a safe switch where it can deal a bit heavier damage against whatever is brought in to try and counter it. But in general, the regular Groudon is the better option. In the overall rankings, it is ranked higher by a few spots as well. The Shadow Boost isn't enough to make Fire Punch scary for anyone. And if you're facing a Pokemon that resists the Precipice Blades, then you're in trouble either way, right? So you might want that extra bulk. I think the extra bulk does come in better handy in this particular instance. Like sometimes, you know, having a Shadow Boost to a resisted attack does actually help it to overcome matchups that are unfavorable with the regular. Not in this case. So generally the regular is better, but I'm certainly still excited for a Shadow Groudon. I think that, you know, there will certainly be situations where you might want to use that instead of the regular. We also get Shadow Mewtwo that are in raids that weekend. So I haven't actually written the dates down here, but the World of Wonders, you know what? I am quickly going to find this while I keep on talking. So I'm going to be scrolling on my phone while I continue to talk about Shadow Mewtwo, which you've got to jump out and get as many of those as you can, because Shadow Mewtwo, well, just Mewtwo in general, is one of the most versatile Pokemon in the game. It's amazing. Like, it's one of the top raid attackers in almost every type. Like, it's whether you're running Thunderbolt on it, Shadow Ball, Ice Beam, like whatever charge move you've got, charge attack you've got on that Pokemon, it brings that Pokemon up to, you know, one of the top raid attackers in that type. And then Mewtwo is so good in particularly Master League. And again, with all that versatility of movesets you can do, it can fill a number of different roles. Looks like the event is actually already on where I am. So it's 27th of March, 10 a.m. to 31st of March, 8 p.m. local time. So it will be happening by the time this podcast comes out, and the raids will be happening over the weekend. So these usually come out like Friday night, Saturday morning, like my Saturday morning, which means that this should come out just in time for those Mewtwo raids to come in. And also the fact that Shadow Mewtwo is now so available, you can feel perfectly justified in purifying one or two. Now, why would you purify? Well, often you do need hundos in Master League. We have talked in the past before about like how just how necessary is the hundo, but the higher up you go in Go Battle League, the more necessary it will be to have that hundo. So being able to purify a shadow means you don't have to get a 15-15-15. You can get things that are as low as a 13-13-13 and purify that to get the hundo. And you've still got other shadow Mewtwos. I mean, depending on how dedicated you are, you could still have enough shadow Mewtwos to fill every other role that you needed to do with raids and stuff, and, you know, have a shadow Mewtwo for Great and Ultra and Master League. I'm actually not sure what CP it comes out as, but surely being level 20 and being such a high attack stat on a Pokemon, it wouldn't be Great League level. So if anyone wants to, you know what, by the time this comes out, I will have looked it up and we'll know the actual answer, but I imagine that it would be Ultra League level when it comes out. There are some things to chase in terms of eggs, raids, and wild spawns. In eggs, the main two to focus on are Vullaby and Dino. Vullaby, obviously the Mandibuzz is your main one, but also Vullaby itself can be pretty decent as a hundo built to level 50 in Great League. Dino, of course, you're looking for a Zweilous mainly. Hydreigon doesn't get too much play in Master League, but has some niche options there. In raids, the two you want to focus on are Poliwag and Barboach, and these are shadow raids, I believe. So the Shadow Poliwrath with Counter, which is an Elite TM move, so be mindful of that. But if you do get a Shadow Poliwrath with Counter, I believe Counter and Power Up Punch can two shield its way through a Lantern, which is pretty tasty. And then Barboach, the Shadow Whiscash, has been gaining steam for a while in Play Pokemon, because particularly, like, the biggest reason being that it can overcome Lickitung, which is pretty hard for the regular Whiscash to do. And also, I think that regular Whiscash can be overcome by a Shadow Gligar, because the Gligar can just tank a Scald from the Whiscash if it's from full health, whereas the Shadow Whiscash is just going to annihilate, just knock that Gligar out of the air if it's a Shadow. So a couple of big advantages for the Shadow, so check that out. And then in the wild, your biggest chases are Sableye, Vullaby, and Dino. We've also got, I mentioned it earlier or alluded to it earlier, the introduction of Shadow Pidgeot. There are a few other shadows being introduced, but the Shadow Pidgeot is the one that you want to really focus on. I did look it up in the one shields against the open Great League meta. I should have actually looked this up in the Ultra League meta. I'm very underprepared. Okay, tangent. When like a peek behind the curtain. So myself and DeFi's setup that we've got, our process, our routine, is that I always edit after the fact, and she always does the show notes before the fact. And one reason for that, among, you know, others, is the fact that I don't do well with planning, and I don't do well with detail. I'm very much a grand plan kind of guy. Like I described before, I just turn on the microphone and start talking and hope for the best. So there are a few things. I think I've done a pretty good job with the notes this week, but there are things that I have neglected, such as the dates for World of Wonders and I neglected to look up Shadow Pidgeot in Ultra League. I only thought of Great League. So sorry about that. You might have to look it up yourself. Go to pvpoke.com and head to the Matrix Battle feature to plug those in. So I simmed Shadow Pidgeot with the moves Aerial Ace and Brave Bird. Feather Dance is an option which you would probably put instead of, if you're going to run Feather Dance, you would replace Aerial Ace, not Brave Bird. Brave Bird's pretty necessary on your Pidgeot. But with Aerial Ace and Brave Bird, it picks up Cresselia, Mantine, Shadow Alolan Sandslash. Altaria, Cresselia, Mantine, and surprisingly Shadow Alolan Sandslash running Shadow Claw, which that was a big surprise for me. It drops Azumarill as a shadow So the regular does better against Azumarill rule there. But that does take into account baiting with an Aerial Ace to burn that one shield and then nuking with the Brave Bird. Without baiting, it's actually worse than the regular. So it does pick up Cresselia and Medicham, but it drops Azumarill, Feraligatr, Shadow Gligar, and Sableye. All in all, I will be keen on some Shadow Pidgeot action. I hope to get myself one for Great League and Ultra League. And, you know, it'll be one of the many, many things that I take a look at for my play Pokemon team as like my point of difference to try and get that edge over the competition. That's our in-game events section. Next up, we have Grassroots PvP, and we are just about to enter the Rainfall Cup. We do have rankings for the Rainfall Cup, and they are the top 10 being Shadow and Regular Empoleon, Guzzlord, Shadow and Regular Walrein, Dewgong, Mandibuzz, Zweilous, Barbaracle, Shadow Quagsire, Shadow and Regular Celio, and Pelipper. Of those, I did some practice battles against Sosaflow, who runs the Poker Battle Network 1 channel on YouTube. Check that out. Plug for them. So I did some practice battles against him, and I really liked Barbaracle of that lot. Like, with Fury Cutter, Cross Chop, and Stone Edge, it gets to all those moves very quickly, and it's got something to hit most things super effectively. So Empoleon is not going to like those cross drops. I think two cross drops will be enough to KO Empoleon. Guzzlord won't like the Fury Cutter cross chop combination. Walrein, both the Stone Edge and the cross drop are super effective against that. So you've got some like baiting options there, some flexibility there as well. If the Walrein doesn't have that much HP left, then you can hit it with the cross drop instead of needing to reach all the way for the Stone Edge. Or if it's at full health, just try and go straight for that Stone Edge and just watch the Walrein disappear off your screen. Dewgong, it can hit super effectively. Mandibuzz, it's wireless, it can both hit super effectively. Shadow Quagsire, no, not with those movesets, but it does also have a sneaky Grass Knot option, which will one-shot the Shadow Quagsire. I would still recommend the Cross Chop and Stone Edge, but that is an option if you want to really surprise an opponent. Celio and Pelipper, which were the other two in the top 10, it can knock out with a Stone Edge as well. So Barbaracle is probably what I'm going to look to build my team around when I do Rainfall Cup in April. We will be doing a breakdown of this meta where I'll be able to talk about it a lot more in depth. And again, like another peek behind the curtain, I would like to shuffle the recording of this podcast around so that it takes place after our breakdown. So I don't keep having to say, I'll find out soon. Because by the time we get to, I really don't need to be talking about this live on air, but I would like to be able to come to you with the information and not say, we'll find out soon. And then by the time I actually find out, the meta's half over, or the, you know, it's people have started their tournaments or whatever, whether it be Go Battle League or Grassroots tournaments. Although when we do our complete breakdowns, they tend to be on like a Wednesday night, Thursday night US time. And so maybe DeFi could do a Thursday night, but I wouldn't feel comfortable asking her to like record on a Friday night to make Friday night our regular recordings, because like you get no more social life there. You know, people, I found people do most things on a Friday. So we'll play around with that. See what we can do about that, because I would like to be able to come to you with a little more information before it's too late with all these metas. However, this is what we've got for now. Deal with it. So Rainfall Cup starting the 1st of April. Hopefully you don't start your tournament straight away so that we can get that information to you. Or you can come and watch the complete breakdowns as they happen. If you go to the Palatown PvP YouTube channel, they are the ones we have planned out are already scheduled there, so you can click notify me to, you know, be notified of when that goes live, and you can come and join in the conversation and get that information in real time a little bit earlier than what the GoCast listeners get it. Moving on to Battle Frontier, we've got we've ended the season now. We've ended the cycle, and my team, the Dark Knights, they couldn't get over the line in their last bout. We were against SoCal Swablu Blue or Gold or one of them, and so there were a lot of pretty solid battlers on that team. They were second leading into the final, like second on the standings leading into the final bout. And we were like pacing with them for most of the bout. So after five matchups played out, the score was 8-7 our way. So very close. I won my matchup against Pepsi Blue Cola, or Blue Cola Pepsi, or man, I'm struggling here. Blue Cola Pepsi, Pepsi Blue, Pepsi Cola Blues, Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi. I won my matchup 2-1. And then I was watching all the, you know, updates in our team channel being like, oh, 1-2, sorry guys, 2-1, hooray. And then one guy got a 3-0, which was really, you know, impressive. And then in those last couple of bouts, we kind of collapsed, got a couple of 0-3s. And so SoCal kind of ran away with the win in the end, meaning we got our third loss for the cycle. I think we finished fourth in the standings. I was pretty proud of my effort, because apart from losing that first week, I won all of my other matchups through the whole cycle. So I had a record of, what was it, like 6-1, which is, I'm happy with that. I'm still kicking myself for that first loss though, against like someone who I knew was a really good battler as well. And so I wanted that scalp. I really wanted to, you know, claim that win, but unfortunately could not get it done. I'll have to take him out next time. So that is Grassroots PvP. Next up, it's our Play Pokemon section. We had the Vancouver Regional Championship on the weekend just passed, and the winner is Lyle Jeffs III. This is, I believe, his third victory. I believe it's his third victory, third regional win all time. It's his second for the season. And second in a fairly short time span as well. Second place was Rubik's Master, and third place was Motix. And Rubik's Master, yeah, man, that guy just keeps on performing. I've got up here his all-time record, because there's a really cool website. I'm sure we've talked about it on here before, Dracoviz. And Dracoviz, like, is a great place to go to for a lot of stats and results for these Play Pokemon events. That's my phone. Not editing that out. So taking a look at Rubik's Master's results, he got second in Portland in his first ever regional championship. That was in 2023. Then he went to Worlds, came second in the World Championship. And it was pointed out a lot that in Portland and in Worlds, the only person he ever lost to was Itzhakson. Like three times or two times or whatever it was. He competed in Portland again, and he got a lowly ninth. what a poor effort. Only ninth place for Rubik's Master. So there are a couple more people who he lost to there, and I think one of them was Caleb Peng, who we've talked about a few times, and then the other one was Cobicuplant. And then he goes to Vancouver, and he comes second in that one. So out of his four Play Pokemon events, he's gotten a second, ninth, and second. So impressive. Also kind of funny that he just cannot seem to get that number one place. Like, it's coming. It's going to come sooner or later. But for now, I think He seems to be a person who is just content with qualifying for Worlds, getting the job done, doesn't need that. Like, you've got someone like Wadaj, who, when he won the first regional of the season, he said to the interviewers, nah, I want to get the most points in the world, or at least North America, or whatever he said. But Rubik seems to be the opposite of that. He's just there to, you know, get the job done and go home, live his life, which respect for that. So moving on to the bracket, we had Lyle Jeffs made it all the way through to the winners finals without dropping a match. Rubik's Master came through the losers bracket, beating Motix in losers round 4, which is like the losers finals. Beat him 3-0 and then went to a matchup with Lyle Jeffs where Rubik's ended up losing 1-2-3 on that one. So Lyle kind of had Rubik's number there. We had a few people getting pretty far that are in members of the Palatown server. So we've got Jacko Loco, who's been playing our Dracoviz tournaments the last couple of months. So Jacko got to the first losers round in Top Cut, losing 2-1 to Rubik's Master. We've got Blob NA, who is Lyle Jeff's brother. It would have been cool to see if, I don't know if Blob and Lyle have ever faced off in a Play Pokemon tournament, but that would be pretty cool. Blob is very good as well. I don't think quite as accomplished as Lyle, but like still very, very good. They're like the Ben and Casey Affleck of that's a mental image I've just put in my own head. Lyle Jeff as Ben Affleck and Blob as Casey Affleck of the PvP world. We've got there's a guy here who I don't know how to pronounce their name. Uoynehc is a name that I recognize as having done some practice battles in Palatown as well. So yes, a good showing for Palatown in this regional. All right, the winning team. Let me scroll to that page. We've got Lyle was running a team of Shadow Sableye, which is something that I was actually just going to start looking at myself. I was surprised to find that Lyle already, you know, did the work and had that on his team. I'm liking the thought of Shadow Sableye because I think it does actually pretty well against Vigoroth and Lickitung, which other, you know, Shadow Claw users don't particularly do. So I'm going to look into that one and get some like a better idea of that. So Shadow Sableye, Cresselia, Shadow Gligar, Lickitung, Poliwrath, and Registeel. So he likes using that Registeel. I've never been the biggest fan of it because I think it's very easy to kind of play around. The fact that it's doing no fast move damage at all means that, like, if you're willing to invest shields against a Registeel and you've got something that can, you know, take it. So, like, my Shadow Feraligatr in Go Battle League loves seeing a Registeel lead because, like, yeah, I've got to spend shields on it, but I take that thing, like, once I do spend the shields out on it, I take the Registeel out pretty easily with those Hydro Cannons that are coming out very, very fast. It can get to 3 Hydro Cannons just before the Registeel gets to a second Zap Cannon. And then, you know, the Registeel, if the Registeel doesn't swap out, then I eventually take that thing out and I've still got, like, 3/4 of my health left on my Feraligatr and maybe even like an extra Shadow Claw of energy as well. So I think that's a really nice one to play out. And it's obviously not just Shadow Feraligatr. There are plenty of other Pokemon that can do that too. As long as you can apply decent enough pressure on a Registeel, it's a good one to play around. But however, you know, Lyle, who is, I have to admit, a more accomplished battler than me, he does make it work, and he seems to stand by it. So maybe go ask him instead. Poliwrath is seeing like a bit of a resurgence. It kind of fell off for just a little while as the counter user of choice after Annihilate came out, but it seems to be coming back due to a couple of different factors, like that Icy Wind for the Gligar, which is still so, so popular. The fact that it Beats. Okay, so I know it's a very nice counter to Feraligatr, which Feraligatr can do fairly well against. Like, it does a lot better against Annihilate than it does against Poliwrath. But I don't see really that many Feraligatr around. So I don't think Feraligatr is the reason Poliwrath is being used. I would have to find out what it is about Poliwrath that is causing some people to choose it over the Annihilate. Maybe it's just better against some flyers. Because, like, I've noticed that most people who are playing Annihilate in Play Pokemon are running it with Night Slash over Ice Punch. And in fact, in Go Battle League as well, I very rarely see an Ice Punch Annihilate these days. It's always Night Slash. Yeah, so that is Lardos team. Sticking with that, Lickitung loves the Licky. Has been using Licky for a very long time. The top usage Pokemon for day one were Gligar, Lickitung, Whiskash, Annihilate, Cresselia, and Chargebug. And of those, like all six of those top Pokemon, all that entire top six, they all had an over 44% usage, which means that the meta seems to be consolidating around a certain few picks now. In fact, this is very close to being like Lyle's actual team. He had the Gligar, had the Lickitung, had the Cresselia. Never mind, 3 out of 6. That's not close at all. I don't know where I got that idea from. But like, I can see a very high correlation between the top six overall and what the top cut players have qualified with. So I see a lot of Lickitung. I see a lot of Whiskash here. I see a lot of Cresselia. I see plenty of Chargebug as well. So I personally do better when the meta is consolidated, because then it makes it a little easier for me to find those core breaker picks. So that hopefully that bodes well for me in Perth coming up. And speaking of, we've got our upcoming regional championships and an international championship on April the 5th. We will have EUIC starting, and that is sitting at 320 players. It will, I think, be the most attended Pokemon Go tournament to date in the Play Pokemon circuit. We have Orlando and Perth starting on April the 13th. There are currently 90 registered for Orlando and 24 registered for Perth. And then Indianapolis is May the 4th, 90 people registered for that. Stockholm in Sweden starting May the 11th, 256 registered for that, which is, I believe, the cap. And we've got Los Angeles that by the time you hear this podcast, registration will be live for that. That's happening May the 25th. And there will be a cap of 256 players for that. To our mailbag. Forget the mailbag. This week, there are, like I mentioned last week, there are 5 mails that we still have to get to. There are 3 that I'm looking at guiltily here because they've been sitting in the mailbag for like a month and a half now, and I do want to get to them. But once we do get to them, there's not going to be much left in the mailbag. So here's what I ask of you. If you have managed to make it this far, if you have not turned it off in boredom with the sound of my monotone voice, send us some mail. Try not to make it time sensitive, because if it is time sensitive, then that will cause us to need to kind of push that up in the queue. Send us some mail so that we do replenish that backlog. We can get to these 3 emails that have been sitting in the mailbag for so long. I'm sure these people are keen for us to get to them. And yeah, like, we'll get back to reading some of those mails next week with DeFi. That will lead us to our achievements. We want to celebrate some people who have achieved some cool stuff in PvP in the Pallet Town server. We've got Suzaya, who will be joining a brand new EMEA Battle Frontier team next cycle. He or she, actually, don't know the gender. Suzaya is on the leaderboard at number 287. And we've also got Logos Prime, who's on the leaderboard at number 425. Both of those, well done to both of those trainers. In the GoCast server, we've got Triptando, whose team won their, speaking of Battle Frontier, Triptando's team won their pool in Battle Frontier, and Triptando himself got a 13-5 record in Master League, no less. I'm very impressed that he's able to compete in Master League. I wish I was the same. To our plugs, I mentioned this earlier, we will have our complete breakdowns of Rainfall Cup and Ultra League Premier. They will be happening on Wednesday night and Thursday night US time, so they will have happened by the time this podcast comes out. Make sure to head to the Pallet Town PvP YouTube channel to check out those breakdowns, or by then we should also have the 6-minute versions available if you can't be bothered sitting there for an hour looking through all the real deep cut, you know, matchups and shield scenarios and energy scenarios and whatnot. We've also got the shorts that will be happening. You know, we summarize it all in 1 minute, like, but it's, you know, if you're looking to, the shorts are for the absolute beginners, the people who don't get any of this. Basically, if you're listening to this, you're probably too advanced for the 1 minute version. But we've also got the Instagram reels and the TikTok version of each of these as well, which is basically just, here's the meta, here's like 6 Pokemon that are really good for the meta, good luck, and may the leads be in your favor. So that's it. I think I'm picturing listening back to this and being like, what are you talking about? Shut up. But you know what? I think in 2 takes, this has been better than I expected. So hopefully you agree. Send me some feedback, you know, only if it's good, because my ego is very fragile. But no, if you got anything constructive as well about how to be more engaging as a solo speaker, then feel free to let me know. You've got my details. They're in the show notes. In the meantime, we love hearing your feedback. If you have any questions or suggestions for myself or DeFi, you can direct that to pvpcorner@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail or physical mail to the GoCast PO Box. Take a look at the show description for the phone number and the PO Box address. In the show description, you can also click on More Fish and More DeFi to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. Also, don't forget to have a listen to the other 2 shows in this podcast feed. The main GoCast podcast to get news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go, and the newest addition to the family, Star Piece, where they have finally released a new episode. And this one is with the guy who runs the website Bulbapedia. I've got it on my to listen list. I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I am keen to get to it. So have a listen to that. Have a listen to the main GoCast feed, and since DeFi's not here, I can get back to saying, may the leads be in your favor.